It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
It is my pleasure to have once again Dr. Sheila Kilbane, one of the few and definitely one of the best integrative pediatricians in the United States. She is trained in both traditional Western medicine as well as the art of integrative medicine. She brings a unique perspective to our topic of the week, nutrition and health. Now, if you missed the last podcast with Dr. Kilbane, you need to make sure to check it out. It was great. We talked about ADD, focusing a lot on nutritional and alternative management of the symptoms that come along with ADD. And at the end of that podcast, Dr. Kilbane mentioned probiotics. And so I thought today we might start exactly where we left off with the subject of probiotics. So with that as an introduction, I want to introduce Dr. Kilbane, I mean Sheila, to today's podcast. Okay, Sheila, let's start today's discussion with you telling us, what are probiotics? What is this all about?
So there's a lot of talk right now about probiotics. And probiotics, it's actually bacteria. And bacteria lives in our gut. In fact, we have more bacteria in our gut than we have cells in our body. This bacteria is extremely important for our overall health. It's important for our immune system. And it's really, I'm going to go back to birth, because what happens during the birthing process plays a big role in what kind of bacteria we have in our gut. So we define it just simply as good bacteria and bad bacteria. And living in a westernized country, we tend to eat a lot of processed foods, whereas when other countries that make things like yogurt, kimchi in Korea, sauerkraut, things like that, those foods naturally have bacteria in them, which help keep the gut healthy. So being in a westernized country and going through the birthing process, this is where we start to pick up some of this great bacteria. So when you have a baby through the vaginal birth canal, the baby starts to ingest some of that bacteria. After birth, then mom puts the baby to breast, and the baby also gets some of that good bacteria. Now, we have an over 30% C-section rate in this country. So these babies end up coming into the world through a sterile field. This means they're not getting the natural bacteria that we start to ingest normally. So sometimes these babies also go straight to bottle and never get any breast milk. What happens is the vaginal birth babies are colonized with good bacteria. The C-section babies, who possibly go straight to a bottle, have more of the bad bacteria. And that makes a difference in how your body continues to keep the environment of your gut and how it's able to fight off diseases, viruses, bacteria. So the way that I look at it, as if you have one person with a very healthy gut bacteria, they could get exposed to, you know, some sort of a bug that causes a virus, a diarrhea and vomiting. They're not going to get very sick. Whereas you have somebody who has the bad bacteria, they're going to get much more sick from that virus. So far, what the thought is about all this bacteria is that it is stable with you throughout life. You know, within a few hours after birth, what you get from your mother, the bacteria you get from your mother, is what stays in your gut. And so it's very difficult to change the makeup of that bacteria. So what we want to do is be very conscious from the get-go of keeping the bacteria good. You know, if you can do a vaginal delivery, if you can breastfeed, those are extremely, extremely important.
That is fascinating. Fascinating. I've been to medical school, Sheila. I have never heard a discussion of that the way you just described it.
It's amazing. And when you start to read these things, that's what when I, you start to go down the integrative path, it's very hard to look back because we don't learn a lot of, there's so much that we learn in medical school, but a lot of this just isn't what we have been learning. But I think it's going to become more and more, in, especially given Andrew Weil, who's very popular now, and he's that guy with the big white beard who we talked about, who's written several books, and he is the one who's really bringing a lot of this to the forefront.
Okay, Sheila, well, that's all well and good, but I really need to get my arms around this whole concept of probiotics. I need to have some sense of why this is important. How does this relate to people's health, specifically babies and children?
So I'm going to go through three or four examples of how I use this in a clinic on a daily basis. And the first one I want to talk about is colic. There was a beautiful study done in about 2005, and they looked at a group of babies with colic, who all of whom were breastfed. And they took the babies, and they took all of the moms off of dairy, or, you know, cow milk. Then they split the babies into two groups. And with one of the babies, they gave a probiotic. And with the other group, they gave something called simethicone, which is Mylocon. Within a week, the babies who were supplemented with the probiotic had significant less crying time. And the really big improvement happened after a month. What they found, and this is what I think is very important, is that the babies in the probiotic group, 95% of them, there was a 95% response rate, meaning most of the babies had an improvement off of cow milk protein and on the probiotic.
And by improvement, you mean improvement in crying?
Yes, less crying time. And it was about 2 hours, up to 2 hours less crying time. Mm-hmm. With the group that was just on the Mylocon, there was only a 7% response rate, which is not very good. And, you know, there was no significant reduction in the crying. Yeah. So one thing is a really important part of that study was having the moms go off of the cow milk protein in addition to using the probiotic.
So there were two things that happened. One was they were not on milk, and the other was that they got the probiotic. But that combo seemed to be extremely effective at dealing with what we call colic, which is excessive
exactly.
infant crying.
Yep. And a couple of details about this study is the probiotic that was used is called BioGaia. And it's called Lactobacillus reuteri. And there is another brand of probiotic that's a little bit less expensive than the BioGaia, and that's made by Nature's Way. And that is a powder. And you can just put a teaspoon of that powder in the baby's bottle, or, you know, you could put it on your finger and have the baby take it off of your finger. But that's a little bit more specific on how that was done. The second situation I want to talk about is eczema, which is another very common thing in the clinic. And this is how to prevent eczema. So in this study, they took pregnant moms in their third trimester of pregnancy who had a family history of eczema, and they supplemented them with a probiotic. They did it until the babies were 6 months of age. So it was the last month of the mom's pregnancies until the babies were 6 months of age. And what they found is they followed those babies out until they were 2 years old. And at the age of two, they found that those babies had half the incidence of eczema as the group of babies that were not supplemented with the probiotics.
Again, a huge response.
Huge
probiotics.
Yeah.
Not just a little, a huge response.
Mm-hmm. Again, the product that was used in that study is a Lactobacillus GG, which is a product called Culturelle, C-U-L-T-U-R-E-L-L-E, and it's a very well-studied product. And moms can take one capsule of that twice a day, and as long as the moms are breastfeeding, they can just continue to take it, and the babies will get it through the mom's breast milk.
Great, great.
So if that's not exciting enough, let me tell you about two other things that I treat with this. So I have a lot of families come to me where the kids are recurrently getting sick, and often they're in daycare. So this was a study that was done in Israel, and what they did is they took babies ages 4 to 10 months of age, and they split them into three groups. And one group, they didn't give them anything. Two groups, they gave different probiotics to them. And in the probiotics groups, these kids had fewer absences from daycare, fewer illnesses, fewer clinic visits to their doctor, and fewer prescriptions prescribed to them. So that's, to me, that's another, that's huge. And that was a very well done study. The other thing is diarrhea. We give kids antibiotics quite often in the pediatric clinic. And what can we do to prevent the diarrhea that they often get with antibiotics? Well, of course, a probiotic. These studies have been in the literature back to the 1970s. Again, I use that Culturelle, and with the younger kids, we'll do half a capsule twice a day, and with the older kids, we'll do one capsule twice a day. And you take the probiotic at a time that different than when you're taking the antibiotic, just so that theoretically the antibiotic could kill the probiotic, and this can really help to decrease their diarrhea. And then if the kids have a viral diarrhea, adding a probiotic can also help to shorten the course of that diarrhea. Okay, now let me tell you about this case because this is fascinating. So recently, I had a baby who was colicky, fussy, just not sleeping well. And so what we did is and the mom was breastfeeding. We had the mom go off of dairy. The baby got somewhat better, but not completely. Then we had the mom take gluten out of her diet. If you remember from the last piece, gluten is a protein that's in wheat. Baby's symptoms got much, much better. And the mom, who has irritable bowel syndrome, said that her irritable bowel was completely gone. So what we also did at that time, though, was to have the mom eat a lot of whole foods, you know, fruits, veggies. We took a lot of the processed foods out of the mom's diet, which I also think played a big role. So what I like to point out is that 5 years ago, before I looked at things in the integrative model, the way I would have treated this baby would be to put her on Zantac. And Zantac is an antacid. It changes the bacteria in your gut. And the mother likely would have gone on to take a medication, and that also would have altered the bacteria in her gut, you know, both of whom it would have made them less healthy gut environment, because we want to keep that gut environment very, very healthy and very acidic. I think that's such a big lesson. And one other thing about the antacids, they're one of the top sellers over the counter. And what they do is they block the acid in the stomach, which we actually need to break down foods. And when you're blocking the acid in the stomach, your body is secreting a hormone to say, I need more acid. So when we go to try to take these babies or adults off of the antacids, they actually get a rebound acid, more a secretion of acid, and that can make their symptoms even worse. So sometimes you have to taper off of these antacids.
Now, you use the term whole food. Are we talking about the grocery chain here, the high-end grocery chain? Is this some specific term? What is a whole food?
So whole foods, there is a grocery chain. But by a whole food, I mean real food, food that's not in a package. So I mean, you know, good real fruits, vegetables, always doing organic when you can, meats that don't have preservatives, that are not processed.
The kind of stuff grandma would recognize as food.
Exactly. The way that we ate in this country 50, 60 years ago.
So Sheila, let's summarize all this great information you've given us today. And you tell me if I get it wrong. Healthy gut bacteria is essential to normal immunity in babies, children, and adults. And that bacteria actually gets into our gut soon after birth. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And this good bacteria, it creates a healthy environment in our guts, which directs the way our immune system develop and work.
Yep.
And maybe being born by C-section and bottle feeding isn't such a great thing, because it alters the kind of bacteria that are in our guts right after birth. And other things like ingesting toxins like dyes, foods or medicines, taking antacids, or eating a lot of sugar disrupts a baby's normal intestinal flora, that means the bacteria in their gut, and may damage the lining of their gut. Did I get that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And there's compelling evidence, and this is the big take-home point, I think, today, is that probiotics shorten or make milder diarrhea illness. It reduces the number of children who suffer from allergic disease like eczema and asthma and hay fever. It may treat or prevent colic, and it reduces the number of times a year a child experiences common viral illness, especially in the first year of life. That is absolutely amazing that little bacteria can do all that kind of stuff.
Isn't it? It's one of my, like I said, one of my favorite things to talk about because it's simple and it has such a beneficial effect.
It's like a miracle. And probiotics seem to be safe, right?
Yes. Sometimes a little bit of flatulence, but that's about it.
Okay. Well, as always, Sheila, I've learned a lot by talking to you today. I hope our audience has as well. I want to thank you for sharing all this information with me and my audience. And, of course, I want to ask if you'll come back and talk on another integrative pediatric topic soon.
Oh, I would love to. I have so much fun doing these.
Well, thank you again.
I want to thank the following people for help with the production of this podcast: David, Golden Voice Jaffe, for his intro voiceover. Seth Jaffe, the Rocket Man Barrister, for his inspirational guidance. Wendy Smolin, chief of our talented legal staff. Sarah, the Wizard Smolin, for her digital editing and photography. And Robert Beezer, Ben Smolin, and Jerome Moof, for producing this beautiful intro and outro music you were listening to. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocsMo.com website. This DocsMo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.